Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
Will you stop your damn sniveling, son? Buck up, Bart. Buck up!
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
Oh boy, is this morning a good morning to have a sports radio show?
Yeah,
after
man.
NBA free agency opened up last night at midnight or 9 p.m. our time. And
it started going down immediately.
Started with a bang and then ended with a really, really, really sad, deflating whimper.
Wet fart?
A wet fart by the Blazers. And
We all know what a wet fart is. Don't sit there in your car like, what's that mean? Yeah, we know.
Nobody said that. Don't worry. Everyone knows what that means. And there is so much to get to. And normally we like to kind of banter in the first segment. And I do have a banterable story about how I went to the haunted Shanghai tunnels yesterday. But honestly, that's going to have to wait until we have some dead time a little bit later in the show. Maybe the final segment if I win, hate it or love it. And or you could still let me talk about that if you win. Because I can't wait. Last night was one of the more depressing moments I feel like Blazer fans could have had. And we just kind of got to start the vent session now. So text us at the fan text line at 55305. You can tweet us at 1080 the fan. I'm at Mike Lynch 27. Rashad's at TaylorMade 503. Jesse, our producer's at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN. And vent your feelings about, honestly, very little happened last night for the Blazers.
But a whole lot happened.
Happened for the Blazers last night. So text, tweet, still coming up on the show. We will get to Paul George. We will get to Kawhi Leonard. We will get to LeBron James. We may get to Jameis Winston suspension if we have time. We do have a guest, if you want to tease who it is.
Oh, yeah.
10-15.
Lamar Winston. Senior, not to be confused with Lamar Winston Jr., linebacker for the University of Oregon.
Yes. So we'll talk to him at 10-15. And Hate It or Love It, of course, is coming up at 10:30. But I kind of just want to open up the first hour for Blazers and NBA talk and just kind of go. Because last night at 9, there's always this vibe of excitement when the NBA free agency opens because you know Woj and Shams and all those guys, the reports are going to start flooding in. And then you see Paul George stayed at Oklahoma City, which is crazy, right? And again, we'll talk about that later. But as a Blazer fan, you see that and you're like, wow, he chose to stay in Oklahoma City when he's been destined to go to the Lakers for his whole career. Wow, okay, maybe that means somebody will choose, you get some false hope, right? And then you start seeing some of the other stuff. DeAndre Jordan going to the Mavericks, finally not getting locked in a house and going right back to the Clippers again.
Baby, I'm back.
Yeah, Chris Paul re-signing with the Rockets. You had the LeBron meetings were starting. You had some rumors about Kawhi Leonard. And you're still kind of, you're just waiting, right? Because you know Neil O'Shea loves that first few hours of free agency move. The first move announced a couple of years ago was off Farouk Aminu, like in the entire NBA free agency. And it's never something that you expect. So sometimes that could be a good thing. This year, that was not a good thing. The first move that was announced was that Ed Davis had signed a 1-year, $4.4 million deal with the Brooklyn Nets. And first of all, you let your heart and soul go for $4.4 million. You let the clear energy, heart and soul guy on your team go for $4.4 million. I know the Blazers have some tax issues. I know they're near the salary cap, but I also know they can afford a $4.4 million contract for one freaking year, right? So that's problem number one. Number two, one of Damian Lillard's best friends on the team. Damian Lillard tweeted minutes after this with a broken heart emoji. And he made another cryptic tweet later, which I don't know what it means. So I think every Blazer fan's a little bit nervous right now. And we can get to that later too. Trust me, we have a lot of stuff to get to. I'm just setting up the scene for you. And then Jason Quick texts Ed Davis. And Ed Davis responds with, I told them I wanted to stay. And it just drives the knife in deeper. And, oh, by the way, he's the best backup center in the NBA. When you've got an inconsistent use of Nurkic that you're maybe going to keep for whatever the money is, you need that kind of energy and solid defense and rebounding off the bench. So the first thought was of just pure confusion. Like, why would you let Ed Davis go if he's only going to demand $4.4 million? And he might have even taken less if he truly wanted to stay in Portland and not go to Brooklyn.
Well, clearly the Blazers are thinking you got to get smaller. You know?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's why you get rid of one of your biggest guys on the team. One of the guys that actually plays big. Because Ed Davis, I've stood next to him, you know, met him a few times. He's not like a big, you know, like a burly like guy. Jacked. No, not really. Like, he's a tall, slender dude. You know what I'm saying? So, all that being said.
Shirtless photos? He's ripped.
Very ripped. But, again, after standing next to him, he is a long, lanky dude, you know what I'm saying, with amazing trainers, you know, in the NBA. But he was one of those guys that was willing to be inside and willing to bang for rebounds, willing to go up there, kind of get hurt a little bit. And you just said it, that heart and soul of the team. Now that he's not there on a team full of choir boys, who is that guy? I don't know if you have him now. Ed Davis was also your energy off the bench. A lot of being a great bench player is knowing that you can come into the game and make an impact in some way. It doesn't necessarily have to be scoring.
How many games did Ed Davis essentially save for the Blazers when he came off the bench with his energy?
Towards the end of the season, he was big. And really, during that 13-game win streak that the Blazers had, man, Ed Davis was...
He and Zach Collins together?
Absolutely. Woo. He was a big part off of the bench. And I think he really gave Collins kind of a lot of confidence because when they were on the floor together, man, it was... You couldn't really stop anybody down there just because Collins can still move. For as much as he doesn't know how to do yet, Collins is still he can still be an efficient scorer. I'm curious to see what he does next year. But Ed Davis was that dude that he would just make it happen. How many times have we seen him finish with a dunk when he was surrounded by three or four dudes
where
just right over the top of
tries
him
tries to float something up for
tries
no
to
reason.
Do a little floater or something like that. Ed Davis says, "Nah, I'm gonna dunk, homie, every single time." And that's the type of guy you need. And so the Nets, man, congratulations to them. They got themselves a good player. But
for really cheap.
They're the Nets. You know, just let's keep that in perspective, too. But for $4 million, like, and I know we're sitting here throwing around $4 million like it's nothing. You know,
it's a drop in the
bucket.
But
in the NBA where dudes are getting, you know, $140 million for 2-3 years, man, $4 million for a guy like Ed Davis seems like the Blazers were – being cheap right now. I'm not sure what he was asking for, so maybe I should start there too. But you know, he might have said, "Man, I want at least 4 years, you know, $100 million." I mean, okay, but at that point, probably not, Ed Davis. But
you know, that's not the case.
No, it's not.
Because he accepted a 1-year, $4.4 million deal. He wouldn't
from
have
from the Nets too,
right? But I'm saying he wouldn't have
drive
taken
that in.
I take that from the Warriors. I take that from the Rockets. I take it from if LeBron's there from the Cavaliers. Like there are certain teams that yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and take that $4 million.
Maybe he really likes Allen Crabbe.
The Nets though, maybe Allen Crabbe is his dude. Possibly. Maybe.
Yeah, Nets becoming the Blazers of the East. They're probably gonna be better than the Blazers soon.
Maybe. Jeez, man. But it's just there's no way he asked for that much if he was willing to accept that little on the first day of free agency. The first day it was allowed, you know, you were allowed to officially sign. And we know that they're talking in the background and stuff. But And there's no way. It just doesn't. It doesn't add up.
It really doesn't. I'm curious again. And I don't want to keep banging on this dude.
But all
these decisions are made, you know, by Neil Olshey.
By GM, bro.
And it's, you start to look at it. Mind you, this is just the first part of what we're talking about.
As far as
waking up to some weirdness today. Like I saw it last night and I saw Ed Davis 4 years and I was like, okay, that's where my Bleacher Report stopped. Open it up and said to the what? The Nets? Instantly, why didn't you pay Ed Davis more than $4 million?
Especially if he said he wanted to come back. Especially if your star player is one of his best friends on the team. Here's the thing. And this is going to be my tease for next segment. The only way this makes sense in my head.
If you're getting LeBron.
Trust me, I know GM Bro doesn't always use the same logic that we use. The only way this makes sense in my head is if another better player is coming for that money plus more. That's the only way this makes sense, is if a really good player is going to either fill Ed Davis's shoes or be at another position of need.
I think
you had to get rid of that 4.4 for Ed Davis or whatever he was asking for. That's the only way that makes sense. But yet, I also remember that this is Portland and that free agents never come here, and that...
Talking about, we got Brian Grant at a point.
Sure did. Everyone thinks Scottie Pippen was a free agent, but he wasn't.
He was traded.
So don't throw that out there.
We got Nick Stauskas last night.
Well, wait. And the first bit of news we get, when I tweeted that, I was like, this is the only way it makes sense. A minute later, Portland assigned Nick Stauskas to a one-year deal. And I'm like, that's the replacement for Ed Davis? So I don't know what Neil Olshey is doing. Let's try to unpack it next. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:16 here on your Sunday morning. Mike, Rashad, and Jesse with you until 11 o'clock. We're trying to unpack what on earth Neil Olshey is doing after the first, not even... Well, now 12 hours exactly of free agency in the NBA this year. Entire first segment, Ed Davis is gone. If you missed it yesterday, he signed a one-year $4.4 million deal with the Nets, which
really
is
really disappointing.
Just baffling. Absolutely baffling. That's not true. There were a couple of people like, he was never going to re-sign Ed Davis. Ed Davis isn't that good. It's like, how many Blazer games did you watch last year? Now, I know Portland loves to fall in love with the really below average rotational player, a la Thomas Robinson or... you know, like Joel Freeland or those kind of players.
Luke Babbitt.
But this is not just a below average rotational player. This was the best backup center in the NBA. Your energy guy.
Was he though? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know a lot of backup centers in the league. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Exactly.
Well, I know him because he's a Blazer. You know, I watch a lot of Blazer fans, but I don't know.
There's really not another option unless you want to say like JaVale McGee, but even then, I think Ed Davis is way more consistent than JaVale McGee. And the Warriors don't really run a center anyway. They run what's-his-face out there for like 3 minutes and then bring in McGee and then put Draymond at the five. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I think he is the best backup center in the league. He was the energy guy. So it just doesn't make any sense. And Damian Lillard loved him. It just doesn't make any sense. I teased this before the break. The only way this makes sense for me is if there is a bigger move coming that uses that money in some way, shape, or form so that you get a better player either at that position or at a position of need. Now, I know the Blazers have said they want to play Zach Collins at the five. So if it's at another position of need and you put Zach at the backup center role, maybe that's how that works. But I also sit there and go, this is Portland. When's the last time a good free agent that's been an impact player has really signed here? It just doesn't happen. So... the only way this makes sense is if that's going to happen. And then I go, it's never happened. So what am I to trust here? That Neil Olshey knows what he's doing? Or that my logic is just, it doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well, apparently Olshey either knows more than us or he knows something that
he acts like he knows more than us.
Yeah. I was going to say, or he just knows something that we don't or whatever the case is. But either way, I think he kind of likes it that way. I think he kind of likes the fact that we don't really know what's happening. You know, we're kind of all in the dark right now. You see these first couple moves and you know, instantly you're like, well, that can't be good. You know, you look around the league at all the splashes that were made, at all the free agents from DeAndre Jordan to, you know, obviously Chris Paul and Paul George, and you're like, oh, and the Blazers get Nick Stauskas and lose one of their best players. You're like, well, that doesn't start good. You know, just hearing it, it doesn't sound awesome. So I think that's where a lot of our heads are. You look at all these stars and these teams that, and most of them in your conference, all of them actually in your conference, you know, even with Ariza going to the Suns, making themselves better after getting the number one pick, like all these teams are getting better around you. And seemingly you just kind of got worse by getting rid of a bench player. Mind you, the Blazers bench struggled for a lot of the season, especially in the past. But that's been a big struggle. Like that's why Dame plays so many minutes per game, because you really need scoring out there. And Ed Davis just became one of those dudes, especially this past year, that was a really reliable player off the bench. And that's just not something you give away, especially to the Nets.
It's really weird because Davis is one of those guys that Olshay brought in when he first came to Portland. They kind of stole from the Clippers, and so there was that initial.
It was a good move to bring him in.
It was a good move, and I think at the time Portland was like, okay, yeah. I don't think they realized how good of a move it was until Ed Davis came here and he played a couple of years, and they were like, wow, that's probably one of the more underrated moves that he's made as a GM, and to let him walk for so little is what's so perplexing, because obviously that relationship was there. Neil Olshay respects what he can do as a player more so than most people in the organization, at least initially. So now when he's playing probably his best basketball of his career, you let him walk for what you could get an eighth, ninth guy on the bench for.
It just doesn't make it. You're right. It makes no sense. And Neil Olshay has had many shrewd moves earlier in his GM period. Many of them. Robin Lopez trade, the Mason Plumlee trade, both of them getting Plumlee in it for a draft pick in Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, like the 20th pick, and then sending him to Denver to get Yusuf Nurkic, who turned out to be a more impact player, although more inconsistent.
Can we just talk about the one thing that we kind of lost over as far as Olshay? It says a lot that the squad the Blazers had in 2014, all those dudes left.
Well, you know, like with
there you go. You know, I was
like, he didn't resign West.
A competitive team in the Western Conference, you know, that was really primed to, if they'd have stayed together, I think really could have been able to do something. I mean, granted, I don't think they're beating the Warriors. I think they compete with that Rockets team, though. I don't think that they just get swept out of the gym by them. But the fact that LaMarcus walked, and then Robin was traded, and then you didn't even
Batum was traded.
Batum was traded. You didn't even offer Wesley a contract. It's like you gave away all the heart of your team for what? To start over with just Dame.
Dame and CJ. Yeah.
And now that relationship with Dame looks like it might be weird, just because Dame is organizing meetings with Paul Allen. No, I don't want Olshay to be there. I just want to talk to you. Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, and if you remember, Paul Allen only showed up at one pre-draft workout this year. Paul Allen is obsessed with the draft. Paul Allen shows up to every one of those every year for the most part. This year he showed up to one, which to me screams losing interest and or doesn't want to be near Neil Olshay or whatever the case may be. But if that's the case, just fire him then, Paul. If you don't like him, you're the owner of the team.
And maybe he's tanking now because he wants to get fired. Maybe there are some things in Olshay's clause to say, or contract to say, you know, I get fired, I get X amount of money here. I don't know. There's a million things. And then
these are all potential.
These are all things. Potential things. But at the moment, just judging from the character of Olshay, or I don't want to say even the character, judging from how he comes across, because I don't know the man personally, so I don't want to talk about his character. But judging by how he comes across, he doesn't seem like a dude that you would get along with for very long.
No.
He seems like you have to do him in increments, small increments. You know, see him at the party,
you have
see
to
him
buy for
the game.
Him.
Yes. And then, but he doesn't seem like a guy that you want to be around for long. Almost kind of like the way people feel about Harbaugh. Yeah, I don't want to be. You might be good at what you do, but after a little bit, you just irritate the hell out of me.
So the Blazers signed Nick Stauskas to a one-year veteran minimum deal as the first move we see after letting Ed Davis walk. And again, pure bafflement on my part, pure confusion. I don't understand the move. The only way I understand the move is you need more shooting, and he's a good 3-point shooter. At least he was in college, and he's proven to be somewhat of a good shooter in the NBA. But he's another guard. Do you really need more guards?
And a guard that can't guard anyone else.
You just drafted two guards. Do you need another one?
You know what we need? It's more guards.
More guards.
Yeah.
Right. So you give up you give up Pat Connaughton, and you sign Nikstauskas, who's the exact same player. Exact same player. Averages over his career, almost identical. Maybe he's a little cheaper. Maybe. What is happening? It literally does not make sense to me. And that's why I keep going back to that argument. There has to be something bigger on the horizon because this doesn't make any sense. But what are the chances of that being true?
I don't think that's like who's out there. Like is Boogie coming? He's still a free agent, right?
Yeah.
But I think he's going to the Lakers, right?
Yeah, he's become the Lakers, you know, number one target now. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. Like I'm kind of at a loss when it comes to the moves Olshay's making. It's almost like he's trying to tank. Like he wants the number one pick in the draft. So it's like, man, let me get as small as possible. And then I know the answer we're going to get is, oh, we need shooting and you need to be able to spread the ball around the floor. And, you know, things don't have to be so stagnant.
Right. Stauskas was one of our targets in the 2015 draft. And now we got to get him. He was a former lottery pick. And look at how good of a shooter he is. And he can defend. He's long.
You know, you'll get all the GM.
He's also not very good.
Yeah, you'll get all the GM bro answers. And it's really not like Ed Davis was like I don't want to give the impression that we're saying he was like this world beater, you know, or this, you know, complete game changer. But when you come into the game, you need to be able to make an impact. And 7 rebounds a game, man, that's an impact. That means you're around the basket and you're active. You know, that's good, especially considering that you're only playing, maybe 17 minutes a game. Those 7 rebounds is really good. There's guys that play all, 48 minutes? Yeah. There's 48 minutes.
Yeah. Guys don't play the whole thing.
No, nobody plays the whole thing. Unless you're LeBron. He'll play 47.
Only in the playoffs.
Yeah. But there's guys that don't play, 38 minutes in the league that don't get 7 rebounds. So to be able to come in the game in that small window of time and make an impact, that's a great thing. Be able to block some shots or at least chain some shots, man, that's a great thing. And now that you don't have that, it's kind of a problem.
Maybe they're seeing that that step forward they want to see from Myers Leonard this offseason.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did see he was working out with Joel Embiid. He was one of the guys who was doing that like 5-on-5 at that random gym in whatever city it was. He took a picture of him, or Myers did, and posted it on Twitter of him.
Was Myers dunking. The one passing everyone the ball?
No, he was dunking it, and Joel Embiid was just looking at him with awe.
Oh, yeah. So they're not really playing basketball then.
Right. They're just kind of messing around probably. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm baffled. Maybe Stauskas is a good shooter and he helps the team a little bit, but he's going to get so much venom from Blazer fans just because of the sequence of the news. Because you're like, 4.4 million. I wonder where that's going. Oh, some of it's going to Nikstauskas.
And also, not extending offers to Pat Connaughton. And that's
fine.
I think it's fine, but again, that's one of those guy Blazer guys that, man, when Pat Connaughton came in the game, he wasn't worthless on the floor. He would actually be able to. I've seen him have some strong finishes at the rim. Like Pat Connaughton is a guy that wasn't afraid to drive in and kind of create some contact and finish. So kind of sad to see him, not be able to come back. Because again, if you're looking at shooters and guys that need to spot up around the floor.
Well,
he was one of those guys I would take.
Let me be honest about this. I think Pat Connaughton is the typical guy that Blazer fans love too much and they value too highly. He's a fun player, right? He certainly made impacts at times. Pat Connaughton is not, and he shouldn't be a regular NBA player on this Blazers team. Neither should Shabazz. So both of them going, I'm like, cool. I get it. It makes sense. You're saving some money and on guys that you don't need to keep.
So Pat Connaughton's not better than Stauskas.
They're about the same, but I think for the veteran minimum, Stauskas is probably cheaper.
Absolutely cheaper.
So whatever, it's on that comparison, it's a throwaway to me. I don't really, it doesn't make much of an impact on how I view the team. I'm just saying, Pat Connaughton is like primo target for Blazer fans to love him for no reason because he's just fun to watch and he's exciting. He's not that good of a player to keep around.
I don't think it's for no reason. I think Connaughton's one of those guys that if he played more minutes, he could probably give you more production. I think he'd be fine. Mind you, people think production is you got to put up 18 to 24 points a game. Nah, man, he can be one of those guys that comes in and gets you a great 13. We miss a guy like Nick Batum now for his consistent 13 points a night. Like, there was a time that we were like, oh, Nick, why can't you score any more than you hit 20 tonight? You hit 19 last night. Now you give us 11? Like, I think the Blazers they need that 13 points a night from some guy.
But that's
you don't
not
really
Pat
get it from
Connaughton
anybody.
To me.
It could be. I mean, you don't know if he only plays 4 minutes a game time.
He had stretches where he played 10, 15 minutes a game.
And he would play well.
He played well-ish. He also had a lot of bad possessions, and he's not a great defender. I mean, look, it's a non-issue. You didn't sign him. That was expected to me. It's fine. But we got a break. Coming up next, Damian Lillard's cryptic tweet last night freaked out Blazer fans, and I don't know what it means. Do you know what it means? Did you see it?
I don't see it.
All right, let's discuss that next. Here's Jesse with SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Blazer fans weren't happy last night, and that included Damian Lillard wasn't happy last night. He tweeted a broken heart emoji when the Ed Davis signing was announced, or the loss of Ed Davis, I should say. He had an STFU to a fan who told him Ed Davis wasn't that good and it was fine that they let him go. And then he posted just two emojis, peace sign or two fingers, depending on how you want to look at it, and then a watch. And NBA Twitter went a little bit nuts trying to figure out what that meant. And does it just mean like peace time, like he's going to sleep? Does it mean peace, like see you later peace, like he's done? Does it mean two timing, like he thinks someone's a two timing, you know what? Like, what does it mean? Why? And it's amazing how much like this bothered Blazers Twitter last night, but it did.
Man,
it's just like a
nobody cryptic, likes subs, man. Nobody likes it because you don't know
a cryptic emoji,
man. That's what we call them, subs. You know, you're saying something to someone. We just don't know who. Most of us know who. I don't know. I think Dame has kind of painted himself into a corner, though. Judging from the way things have moved, and this is just Rashad, the Blazer fan. Judging from the way things are moving, it doesn't seem like they're building something for Dame to win now. You're looking at a dude who's, what, 26 at this point?
Or, yeah, 26, 27.
So he as far as his prime, he's in it now, but he's got another 4 years, you know, to be in this position. And right now, 27. So really another four years to really be.
Almost 28, actually. He turns 28 in July.
There we go. You know, so. You're looking at a guy who's getting older, you know, especially for a guy that plays among the most minutes of anybody in the league. I think there's been a couple of years where Dame has been the leader, if not among the leaders in minutes played. So it doesn't seem like they're really building something great around you at this point. But you've been openly saying for years, I'm going to be a Blazer. I want to be in Portland. This is where I want to stay. But I think Dame wants to win too. And he's saying, I would much rather stay somewhere. And no, you wouldn't. Because at the end of the day, Dame wants to be the best, and he wants to be considered the best, and he carries that chip on his shoulder because he's never really been considered among the elite. And so the only way to be elite is you have to get a ring. The reason that Karl Malone is not in the greatest of all time conversation, and he should be, he doesn't have a ring. He gets one ring. He gets put in that conversation as, man, Karl Malone was the most, he's number two all-time scoring. Number one all-time free throws made. I think he's like number four or five in rebounds, like all-time. Like, Karl Malone was a beast. But because he doesn't have that one piece of hardware, he's not considered among the elite. Charles Barkley either. I don't think Dame wants to be thought of like that. So when it comes to, I think Dame is going to leave, which is going to make him look bad because you've been saying, I want to be here, I want to be here, I want to be here. But, man, if they don't put nothing around you, you got to do what's best for you and your career because that's how people will remember you when it's all said and done.
I agree. I think for a long time, I was always like, yeah, to me, he seems like a guy who wouldn't leave. He seems like a guy who was super loyal to his team. But the longer it goes like this, where despite improvements maybe in the regular season, three seed this year, nothing is an improvement in the postseason. First round loss. Maybe get to the second round, get hammered by whoever you play in the second round. There's really not a lot of improvement outside of regular season performance. And, you know, at some point, you're right. If you're a guy who wants to be viewed as elite, and I know Damian Lillard does, then that's, and you're not, and it's not happening here, that little voice in your head's going to start popping up. You should leave. LeBron wants to play with you. Go play with LeBron. You know, the amount of times LeBron's like, give me Damian Lillard, or Damian Lillard's the best.
He said it multiple occasions, yeah. Man, give me a guy like Damian Lillard, and you'll see what we'll be able to do. Like, that's a guy, like, I mean, there's a time where we were taking Kyrie over Dame. There was a lot of guys, including me, that was like, man, who's a better player, Kyrie? Right now, I think Dame is second or third as far as point guards in the league. I mean, and I know we're prisoners of the moment. Man, he's first team All-NBA this year, deservedly so. I think Dame is really, if we're talking about point guards, he's number three to me, number four at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still
first team All-NBA this year.
It's finishing fourth in MVP. Still Steph, Chris Paul,
Westbrook,
and then Dame, you know, as a point guard.
Give me Dame over Westbrook. I
could make that argument for like helping
as
the
a
team
leader,
more.
As a leader.
If
Dame had Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, he's in the conference finals every year, I think.
Probably. You're probably right.
I think if Damian Lillard, he's a much better leader than Westbrook is.
At the very least, they're not getting swept in the first round of the playoffs. So I think what's frustrating is you're going, okay, you got the best player in the league who is saying that Dame's the best. He's one of the best players in the league, and you know there's no shot in a year where LeBron's looking and he's looking to pair himself with some all-stars. You have no shot, Portland. Like, that's what's got to be, I mean, even just the utmost frustration for a Portland fan is you're just, how do you get there? You have to draft that guy. And maybe Olshay's doing the right thing. Maybe he's blowing this up so we can draft somebody, but I don't know if next year's the draft to do that.
Well, and right, and if that's his decision, why didn't you tank 2 years ago when you were three wins away from the worst record in the Western Conference? Why? Why didn't you do it then? Why are you just now deciding to do this after you've already gone through two more years of Damian Lillard's prime? So back to the cryptic emoji tweet he made. This texter believes, I think it's just him like signing out, like peace out from Dame time is how he took it, like signing off of Twitter. But that could also mean peace out, like he's frustrated and wants to leave. This one says, isn't the two fingers his symbol? Like, doesn't he do tap with two fingers on his watch? I don't know. I've never paid that close of attention to see how many fingers he uses, but
I hope so. I hope that's what it means.
Wow, Russia just beat Spain, by the way, in the World Cup on penalty kicks. That is a massive upset. Massive upset, by the way. Just wanted to throw that out there. It just happened, so that's why I'm just throwing that out there.
España's, they're defeated.
They're dunzos.
Oh, my gosh.
If I'm Damian Lillard right now, I am so pissed off that you're probably feeling more emotions than Blazer fans are, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's rich too, so he's probably mad, but not that mad. He's mad somewhere on his yacht, or mad somewhere, you know, where it's super warm and not overcast right now. So,
all right, let's break. There is a little bit of positivity I have for the Blazers. It's not something that's necessarily happened yet, but I did see an article about possible candidates for the $13 million trade exception. The big one that they got. And a couple of the candidates I think are really, really, really good additions for this team that would actually be a positive for this offseason. So let's tell you those next here on Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
So don't forget, the Blazers have that $13.5 million trade exception that they need to use before, I think it's July 25th, I believe is the date they need to use that by. And I saw an article posted yesterday. It might have been from Jason Quick. It's from one of the Blazers beat guys. And it was, here's some options of players who might be available in trade that could fit that $13.5 million trade exception. And there are two of them on the list that was posted that I think would be really good fits for the team. They fit a need of both shooting and defense combined. They both play the three. And I think they are both very, very good fits if the Blazers can somehow pull it off. And both are on teams that may be making moves to try to clear some cap space to try to get LeBron or some other big free agent. The first of which is Robert Covington from the Philadelphia 76ers. Covington, first team all-defense NBA this year, and is also, I'm going to double-check the number here in a second, but is a like 38% three-point shooter. Perfect. Covington to me is the perfect fit for that trade exception spot. A three who plays great defense, who can shoot the ball really, really well. That's exactly what you need. And if you're just filling the trade exception money, you're not really, it's not going against your cap in any sort of crazy way. Why not? That to me is like option number one. If you can get Covington and the Sixers are trying to get everybody, go get Covington, clear some cap space for them. To me, that's a perfect fit.
I like Robert Covington. I think he was a really big part of what the Sixers were able to do in the first round of the playoffs. Again, he's a 3-and-D guy, but he's also a 3-and-D guy who's not afraid to. He reminds me a lot of Pippen in the sense. Now, do I think he's as skilled as Pippen bringing the ball up the floor? No, but I think he's a guy that can finish over the top of you if he needs to. He's crafty enough to create his own shot. Again, 38% from three.
36.9% you know, last year.
36.9%, still 37% from three point range. And as a big, tough dude, like you're just not going to blow past him.
Averaged 12.9 points last year a game.
And the thing about the Blazers,
that's what you were talking about, is you're missing that 13 point a game guy.
You don't, and you also don't have that guy that you can say, okay, you go guard Westbrook, stop him from scoring, like, or go guard Paul George, whoever's killing you the most. That's who needs a body in front of them, and that's what he can provide for you. And I would love Robert Covington coming here. I think that would be a great pickup. I think he fits exactly what the Blazers are as a franchise and like as a culture. I think he'd be great here.
Another one is a guy that they actually were linked to a couple of years ago, and instead they went with his teammate, Wilson Chandler on the Nuggets, a 3-and-D guy who shoots 35.8% from the floor. He averaged 10 points and 5 boards a game last year, but he has had better years with the Nuggets. And from the report we saw, the Nuggets are going to try to get LeBron, or at least sit down with him. They're going to need to clear some cap space after they gave Will Barton $50 million. And Chandler's on a one-year deal. He opted into his one-year $12.8 million deal, which does fit that money in the trade exception. I would prefer Covington over Chandler, but I think Chandler's another guy who could fit the team well in terms of that exact need of 3 and D.
I don't know. I'm a little more lukewarm on Wilson Chandler. I've never really been a big Wilson Chandler fan. When he was with the Knicks, I thought he was, you know, okay. But since then, I don't think he's ever really panned out to what I thought he was supposed to be. I think most people thought he was supposed to be. But he's a good player. He's really forgettable. And I think that's the thing. Robert Covington, he's going to make sure he has an impact on the game, whether he's scoring or not. And I think that's the kind of guy. Wilson Chandler is like a rhythm guy. He gets a couple to go in. Then all of a sudden you'll see him play some great defense and some chase down blocks and some of those other things. But for the most part, Covington's, I think, the dude that I would really want in my starting rotation like today. Wouldn't be mad at Wilson Chandler, but I would prefer Covington.
I think they're both upgrades.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other options that were – it was Jason Quick who posted this. TJ Warren on the Suns was an option that would fit in. He's only 24. The only problem with him is he doesn't shoot the three ball well. He's a great defender, but he only shot 22% from three last year. So yeah, he's not a three-point shooter.
That's not going to help.
You've got Matthew Dellavedova for $9.6 million.
For sure not going to help.
He's a 38% three-point shooter, but he's also a small guard.
He's also Matthew Dellavedova.
Have you seen how much energy he brings?
Man, I'm
kidding.
I'm good.
I mean, I think he's a fine player.
He's
but
a fine player, but yeah, not for he's that. Just, yeah, I'll be okay without Dellavedova.
And then Courtney Lee was another one. As a good shooter, not exactly the best defender, but a really, really good shooter who shot better than 40% from three-point range the last two seasons.
Courtney Lee's been he's been a consistent NBA player. You know, he's a guy that's dealt with some injuries and stuff like that to his face and some to a knee injury and stuff. Like, man, Courtney Lee is he's an okay player. I wouldn't mind him.
So Covington, number one option for you?
Covington is number one option for me. If he is available, if we can make it happen, then I say go make it happen. But we are talking about Neil O'Shea, so be prepared for Matthew Dellavedova.
Right. Another guard.
Just saying.
We're going to go with a 10-guard lineup this year for the Blazers.
Yes. We're going to be really quick. That's what we need to get all, quicker. All That's speed, what we're going to hear.
All speed and mediocre defense.
Yeah. Yes. So be prepared for Matthew Dellavedova. I almost guarantee we get Matthew Dellavedova instead of any one of those guys that we just named off that would be good fits.
Well, the problem is, too, is if it runs out, the trade exception.
Yeah.
So they have to use it. And if they start running out of options, they're just going to use it on someone like Dellavedova.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Because Covington is good enough to be signed somewhere else, as is Wilson Chandler. So they don't really need to sign. You know, Dellavedova, not many people are, you know, seeking him out. At least I don't think. I could be wrong. Nick Stauskas has just got a contract, so I could be incredibly wrong about somebody not wanting Dellavedova. I just know that just seems like just the Blazer / O'Shea thing to do is get Matthew Dellavedova.
So before we put a nail in the proverbial Blazers coffin for the day, I just want to gauge your thought on this question. Do you trust Neil O'Shea enough?
No.
That you think there might be at least one decent or two decent moves coming up. Maybe not earth-shattering moves, but two decent moves to try to make the team better before the end of free agency.
The Blazers received a D or D minus, I can't remember, in the draft. One of the lowest draft grades in all of the NBA. I think only one other team got a D from some of the draft grades I saw. You let go of Ed Davis for $4 million, which is baffling. You signed Nick Stauskas for what looks like a minimum. You've gotten rid of another guy who's considered, you know, a Blazer fan favorite in Pat Connaughton. There's nothing you've done in this stretch that's given me any confidence that I should trust the process. No pun intended.
And feel free to text your thoughts to 55305. The only reason I ask is, again, the thing that I brought up in the beginning of the show, the only logical explanation for the Ed Davis move is because something else is coming. That's the only logical explanation to me.
And I think you mentioned it. And
so to me, there's a sliver of hope, a tiny little piece of hope that you wouldn't be that stupid and make that move if there wasn't something else coming down the pike.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a tiny bit. But you're right. So far, the last 2 years, it's been a lot of mistakes. After a couple of years of good moves.
Look, Nurkic was the last great, like, okay, good move.
For a long time, I was so pro Neil O'Shea. I would argue against people who hated him because of some of the moves he had made. He had been, I mean, as close to a genius as a GM with as little space as he had to get impact players. He really was. And he is a good talent evaluator. That is something he still is a good talent evaluator. Like, he found Mo Harkless on the scrap heap in Orlando, who was a lottery pick who had done nothing, and turned him into a solid and, frankly, very important piece of the Blazers at the end of last year. So, you know, he's been good at that. But so that's, I'd still like to give him that credit.
Yes,
but then again, I'm also starting to lose the patience to keep giving him that credit.
Yeah, because it's one of those, you know, kind of what have you done for me lately, you know, type of situations. Like, I think your job was saved this year thanks to all the injuries in the Western Conference. The Blazers were able to move up to that third seed, which guys like me kind of feel like you probably shouldn't have had. You know, if everybody is playing and not hurt, then I don't think the Blazers are the third seed. I think they're maybe sixth, seventh, eighth, you know, possibly fighting for that last spot. You know, I think they don't make the playoffs, he's fired. I mean, this is really a thing about Dame just being too damn good to keep his team out of the playoffs. That's just really what it's been. Like, you can't fire a GM who I'm in the playoffs every year with the roster that I'm able to have. It's Damian Lillard being too damn good and carrying his team that's keeping him around. You know, if Dame doesn't have the season that he has, man, the Blazers finished 9th or 10th. Man, I think Olshay's gone, just considering some of the moves that he's made over the last little bit. However, can't fire the team, can't fire the GM of the team with the third seed. Like, it just doesn't look great.
I mean, you can.
You can.
You just fired the coach of the year in Toronto.
And people are looking at Toronto crazy. Like, man, for real? You just let him go, and he just won the most games your franchise has ever won for you? It's like, you just let him go. You just let your GM go, and he just got your team to the third seed? That would be the conversation around it.
Also, like, 3 games from missing the playoffs in the weirdest Western Conference we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things. I think Olshay's job has been saved by the fact that Dame is just Damian Lillard. He's that dude.
I guess what I think of the two words that I key on when you asked that question was hope and try. So with that, I would say, yes, there is hope that Olshay will try to do something
here.
He
did say he tried to make trades at the draft. But then we got the report that he promised Anfernee Simons the 24th pick. So, again, conflicting.
Yeah,
you didn't try very hard if you promised him.
You can't tell me both. Like, oh, yeah, we tried to make a trade, and, you know, sold Simons. If we were there at 24, we was going to – no, you didn't. You didn't try to make it. You didn't do anything. You're lying now.
Like, I'm with you, Mike. The moves he's making are really confusing if you don't have at least an attempt for something in the pipeline to get a bigger free agent than you normally would draw to Portland. Somebody that's better than Ed Davis. And like you said, he's not the best center in the league, obviously, but as far as backup centers, he's the best, if not one of the best backup centers in the league. So you have to have something better coming in than what was your sixth man, basically.
But here's the problem. Is the something better right now is like the Kawhi Leonard, Paul George range of player. And what are the chances that's happening?
Boogie Cousins to Portland, baby.
Like, to me, it's like 0.2% that those kind of players are coming here. Now, I know Kawhi Leonard would be a trade, so I suppose that's maybe a higher percentage because he doesn't have a choice. But who? Feel free to text. I might be missing someone. Who out there is better that you could be using that money for who is a solid choice for Portland and that doesn't involve the trade exception? The trade exception is a separate thing. Like we just talked about, Covington or Wilson Chandler in the trade exception, great move. But you didn't need to get rid of Ed Davis to get that kind of a player. So who else is out there who you would want to see if it is a potential guy who could come in? Because I don't see it.
I don't think there's any potential guys to come in. And I just think that's kind of the issue. And it's unfortunate. It's just, you know, a matter of where we live. But, you know, you look at Paul George signing with OKC and you say, well, maybe there's hope that maybe now guys aren't as rigid.
I'm shocked by that, by the way.
I think a lot of us were shocked by that. You know, I was thinking Paul George was for sure going to go to L.A. He got an ESPN little special and all type of stuff. It's like, okay, well, he's going to go there. And now, like, okay, he's scoring everyone and he's back with the Thunder. That's kind of scary all of a sudden. Like, now they get a full year to be with each other and talk about what we need to do and how
we signed a four-year deal, 3 years plus an option. That's a commitment there.
So
especially nowadays when every big player takes a one-year deal with a player option for the second year.
So, and honestly, I think Paul George is looking at the Lakers and saying, this isn't for me. And if guys are looking at the Lakers going, yeah, I'm good. Like, I don't know how desirable that makes Portland.
All right, we got a break. Coming up next, let's get to the rest of the NBA stuff that we haven't gotten to yet. The Paul George signing, the LeBron James free agency, all of that coming up next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.